Hi, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you with us on this Friday. Superior Days is a grassroots lobbying initiative that's been held for more than three decades. Each year, Northern Wisconsin leaders and community members make the trek down to Madison to lobby lawmakers about issues important to the region. Superior Mayor Jim Payne and Douglas County Chairman Mark Liebert will be among those making the trip next month. The two sat down with me to talk about some of the issues on the agenda this year, including requests to add more funding for roads, UW Superior, and Medicaid reimbursement. Do you know about how many people are going to be heading down this year?
Do you remember the total mark?
140, I think. Yeah. 140 so far.
Okay. Up from last year. Good number.
And that could go up a little bit because I know that night a couple of people handed in their registration and I don't think they were counted in that total.
Okay. Well, and there's a lot of same issues that you're going down to lobby about again this year. One of the top ones, Medicaid reimbursement.
Yeah, that's, I think, new as a legislative issue. We did not talk about that in past years, but a lot of the delegates felt very strongly that that's really the overriding issue for Northern Wisconsin. And it covers a number of issues within the Medicaid reimbursement rate, mental health, nursing home, and personal care. But I think most importantly, alcohol and other drug abuse, particularly inpatient and residential opioid treatment.
Okay. Well, for those who haven't been keeping up on it, why is this such an issue here in Superior and Douglas County? Mark, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, we're about, $1.8 million over our budget this year and is due entirely to the drug abuse. We're taking about 97% of our children that are being placed monthly are due to the drug problem that we now have. I think we're number one or two when it comes to meth and heroin in the county. And the state has not supplied us with the resources we need to deal with this epidemic. And we're actually really up against the wall because with a frozen levy budget, we don't have any way to respond to the dollars that we need. Like I said, we went from a couple of years ago, we were about $500,000 under budget, and now we're $1.8 million over budget from the Health and Human Services Department, largely due to this epidemic that we're in now.
So this is a side effect of drug and alcohol abuse in the area.
That's right.
Okay. And so why is this such an issue? Because, for example, Minnesota has treatment services. Wisconsin, however, does not for things like inpatient or residential treatment or halfway houses for stays there. What do you say to people who are like, well, if people have needs, why can't we just send them over to Minnesota?
Well, because it's not just that Wisconsin Medicaid doesn't cover those services, so you'd have no means to pay for it even if you did go over to Minnesota. But even for those services that are covered by both states, Wisconsin reimburses those services at a much lower rate. So if you're a provider of inpatient care or even outpatient treatment services, you're going to make much more money treating Minnesota patients than you are Wisconsin patients. So it makes much more sense for those providers to locate in Minnesota, and it's not even profitable for them to operate in Wisconsin at all. So it's very hard for us to have any meaningful services. We simply can't afford them.
So, and also to hire those workers. I mean, they're being paid more in Minnesota because there's more money available for those services. So we're having a hard time even providing the workers to do some of the services that the county is forced to do.
So how is that impacting care then? What are we seeing with that? If we can't keep people here in northern Wisconsin.
It means people aren't treated for their addictions. It means that the addictions last longer. The fatality rates are higher. It means, as the chairman pointed out, more children going into foster care. It means more crime related to drug addiction. It means more incarceration related to drug addiction. Of course, more families torn apart, fewer people entering the workforce, slower economic growth. It's a problem that affects nearly every aspect of life in northern Wisconsin.
And when they aren't available to that early care, then it becomes a problem later on when it really is then our problem that we have to deal with when they've went so far into the addiction end of it that we are required to take care of them. Now the costs have been raised up tremendously over what it would have been if we could have actually worked them into the system early.
The fact is the city and the county have an obligation to treat the collateral damage of this crisis. The state has an obligation to treat the crisis itself. We can't cure people of drug addiction, but doctors can. There is a solution to this, and that's one of the most offensive things about this problem. The state could help treat this problem, and they're not doing it.
Well, and Mark, I just wanted to go back to you for a second because you mentioned the cost related to this. And I guess I was just looking at or wondering what the impact to the budget is when you have one area where you have to come up with $1.8 million. What does that mean?
It's remember, we were dealing with a frozen budget. So we are required to do a balanced budget. And the fact that the levy cannot be, in this case, we were able to raise our limit, I think, by 1% this year. I mean, it doesn't even cost, raise up the fuel cost increases that we have to pay for. So when you start talking services that are $1.8 million more expensive than they were when we budgeted for it last year, there is no place to get that from. We increased the expenditures that we got from the forestry department. We cut the highway department. We ended up, in my case, almost pretending maybe that we would find another income source, more sales tax. There's been options put out there like a wheel tax, like a cutting extension. There's all kinds of things that this is going to force into a place that we may not want to go, but there is no other alternative unless the state decides to help us fund these projects and and I don't see that happening yet. And that's one of the reasons why I think this is a priority for us to when we're at Superior Days, because it is going to adversely affect the quality of life in Douglas County if we can't get a solution to it.
So is this strictly a drug and alcohol issue? Or, I mean, how much does the aging population of northern Wisconsin or Superior and Douglas County play a role in what we're seeing when you're talking about the reimbursement rates? I mean,
That is another problem, but it's really in the same field because we do have an aging population, and so that requires more providers, more personal care workers, more facilities, all of which are funded largely by Medicaid, which again is reimbursed at a much lower rate than Minnesota. That's true across the spectrum of mental health issues as well. We cannot treat our citizens as effectively as states like Minnesota that have a higher reimbursement rate. And again, a mental health condition affects a person's entire life, affects their family life, and the dealing with the effects of that problem have to be borne by somebody. And if the medical system is not capable of handling it, we end up handling it in different ways, the social work system or the criminal justice system.
And the fact that we have an aging population, that's something I think we can handle because it's a slowly growing part of the budget. But the epidemic part of it, where the drug has hit us on the kids and the people that we have to take care of, is just plain and simple, it's an epidemic, and we don't have any solutions to it. And for sure, we're short of money, and we've had to drop programs that Health and Human Services people thought were very productive, but they weren't mandatory. So now we've had to drop different services that were good for the community because we couldn't pay for the mandatory services, and we had to get rid of them. And extension is one of those things that when most people's eyebrows go up when I start saying that, you know, we've had to consider whether we're going to drop extension. We had a meeting here to balance our budget, and we took about $600,000 out of other places to try to balance the budget. In June, we're going to have to re-look at the rest of those options, which we did not consider, and I'm not sure where that's going to go with the epidemic continuing. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to be short-term.
Where are you able to find those savings? Because isn't most of the county's budget wrapped up in staffing? Or, I mean, to pay for, like, most of what you...
Well, there are cuts. You have to make a cut somewhere. You know, extension is probably one of the last prioritized part of that budget that we have to do. I mean, that's a couple $100,000. We took $300,000 off of our highway budget. We added another $100,000 from the forestry. If they have a good year, they'll be able to make that for us again. But if we have a bad winter and they can't cut a lot of wood, we can have a lot of problems. We've already taken almost $2 million to offset levy from the forest right now. We're also talking about cuts in other places. Which, like I said, we've been dealing with this flat budget for so long. There's not a lot of places to cut that don't have a lot of pain in them.
So is there a specific amount that you're asking for as far as the reimbursement rate, what you'd like to see it increase to?
Well, any increase is better than keeping it where it's at. But ideally, we'd like to see it pair with Minnesota. We are a border community, and that ends up being one of the driving factors here. We are looking at basically the solution to this crisis right on the other side of the bridge, and we just don't have access to the same resources. So we would want the legislature to raise it to Minnesota's rates. But again, we did not put a specific number in this ask. We note Minnesota's rate. We absolutely are going to talk to the legislature about what they're reimbursing at, but we'll take just about anything at this point.
I was down lobbying with the Counties Association a couple of weeks ago, and I believe that the dollar amount that they thought that could handle the problems that they had identified, which were not quite as specific as the, what we're dealing with up here, was about a $60 million add to the budget. The counties are required under, I think it's child, I forget the initials, but the counties are required to do 9.8%, which amounts to just under $10 million. The counties in the state right now are paying $118 million when they were only required to do under $10 million.
You're talking about the child protection services that are being offered, right?
Right.
Okay. And the strain that's being put on them because of drugs and alcohol, where kids are being removed from the home and having to be placed somewhere.
Because the state hasn't upped its budget, the feds haven't upped their budget, the counties have had to pick that up. And like I said, an increase in what they were required to do from under $10 million to $118 million across the state is a huge hit to counties who don't have the revenue. And that's hitting northern Wisconsin because we have increases of less than 1% in our budget allowed to new growth. Some of the states or some of the counties are not in those problems. They're still having increases in their dollars, but they also have a budget that is able to take care of it much better than ours.
Well, I should say before we get too far from this subject, that it is very easy for leaders in government like the chairman and myself or the state legislature to start viewing this as purely an economics issue. And of course, this is what we do all day is worry about our budgets. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, this is a human crisis and a moral crisis as well. Listen to the things that the chairman is talking about. We're talking about children being separated from their families. That's a trauma that you maybe never recover from in your entire life. We're talking about family members that are dying or becoming permanently disabled by this crisis. It's something that has touched almost every single person's life in Superior and northern Wisconsin, particularly here in Douglas County. So when we talk about it being a crisis, it's not just about dollars and cents. This is not just a budget crisis. This is a very real problem for the people of northern Wisconsin.
There's a human
and when
cost.
We take a child, what has happened in the last 2 years, we used to take them and they were short-term takings, short-term protection orders. Now they're long-term. I mean, very long-term. I mean, they're costing us $15,000 a month to house a child out of the area who has problems. And so, and as the mayor said, these kids eventually come back to our community. And if we're not able to fix or at least help them along on their process of this, I'm not sure how we'll afford them when they get back into society and we still have it. Now they're adults.
So when we're talking about lobbying for this, does this look like legislation? Are you talking with agencies? Where are we at with this?
In this case, both. But this is a legislative issue, so we will be speaking to every single member of the state legislature, both the state Senate and the state assembly, about this issue because we want to make sure, ideally, that this would be a part of the budget. This is a substantial change to state law in Wisconsin, and often that's done through the budget process. But regardless of the way they choose to do it, we want to join our voices with people across the state of Wisconsin, really, that are saying we need an increase in this rate.
Okay. Is there anything else that I'm missing on this issue that either of you would like to add?
Well, I'm sure we could talk about it all day.
Well, I'll give you one point, I guess, is Ashland, of course, is in the same, Ashland County, same problem. Ours.
Right.
They had a referendum for $1 million to try to balance their budget. It failed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what they're going to do because they're short $1 million in a little smaller tax base than what we're at even. So this is a big crisis, and it does affect the counties that are in northern Wisconsin for some reason more.
And I know Douglas County has the new government center, or fairly new, I guess, mm-hmm. compared, but there's discussions in Ashland County about possibly building a new jail, or has been for years. Is it ever, do you see it getting to that point with the current facility that we have because of drugs
well,
and alcohol?
Remember, we have a pretty a large enough capacity, at least at current, to handle what we have now. And we have implemented a few programs to try to maybe lower that population in the jail. But it used to be just a few years ago that we used to rent a lot of bed space to other counties. That is continuing to be reduced. And, of course, that income then is also gone from the county. So there are, you know, problems with the fact that we're putting more of our citizens in jail due to this drug epidemic.
You know, the county, Douglas County, is doing a good job at trying to reduce its local population in the jail. But to think about the idea of building a new jail because of problems getting bigger, that is just absolutely the wrong way to look at this problem. You cannot arrest or incarcerate your way out of this crisis. You have to solve the addiction crisis. You can't just lock people away. That's not going to solve anything.
And several grants that the Health and Human Services got and the police department has that are working, and they're shown that they work, where a person who's addicted and they've been placed in jail, the day they come out of jail, there's an officer standing there asking them if they would like to participate in the grant program that they have, and I forget the name of it, but it has shown that it works. And we just don't have the resources to do that on a larger scale. I mean, we're using grants to do it, but eventually these are going to have to be part of our work that we do in the community, and it'll never happen if all we're doing is trying to balance a budget that is already just crashing as far as on the Health and Human Service side.
Again, you're listening to Superior Mayor Jim Payne and Douglas County Chairman Mark Liebert. We're going to take a short break for these announcements, but when we come back, we'll talk about funding for roads, UW-Superior, and more. I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. In this hour, we're talking about issues that Northern Wisconsin leaders will be lobbying for in Madison next month as part of the 34th annual Superior Days with Superior Mayor Jim Payne and Douglas County Chairman Mark Liebert. Before the break, we heard about why they'd like to see Wisconsin raise its Medicaid reimbursement rate. Up next, the two talk about why they feel more funding is needed for roads and UW-Superior.
Well, another big issue economically for the county is how you fund road repairs.
Right.
And you're looking at a 0.5% local option sales tax again this year. I mean, there's been legislation that's been introduced in the past, but that's not moved forward in the legislature. So, again, this is going to be a bill that you're pushing for or meeting with lawmakers?
It's a try at the at it again, another kick at the can, and we're hoping that maybe without a restriction on the legislative of no new tax, that they might give us permission to do this. And remember, it would end up with about $4 million. 0.5% usually ends up with a county sales tax of just under $4 million. And the way it was presented at the bill that was presented downstate was that would be shared with the city, the villages, and the townships, and the county. And the county would end up with about half of it, and then the rest of it would be shared. A small township like the town of Amnicon would get about $60,000 to $80,000. That's almost half of their levy budget. So imagine what a township, how they could increase their quality of roads if they had access to this 0.5% sales tax. And I'm sure the city superior's got some use for almost $1 million too.
Yeah, certainly do.
Yeah, well, I want to say that this had bipartisan support the last time it was brought forward, but then it failed. You know, I mean, Governor Walker had always said that he was, not a proponent of new taxes, as you had said. So do you feel like having a new governor with Governor-elect Evers or Governor Tony Evers?
Yeah, and this, I don't think it even failed because of the governor. I think we ultimately might have won over even Scott Walker, and Governor Evers makes a big difference in this process. In all reality, Danielle, and I mean, no offense, but it was radio that killed this thing last time. It was conservative talk radio in southeastern Wisconsin hated the idea of any kind of tax, and they shook some members of the assembly, and suddenly we were out of luck. Literally the 11th hour, it was moments before we were about to get a decent vote on the bill, which likely would have passed. It was purely politics. And so it will be a much smoother process having a supportive governor, a governor that is willing to let counties and municipalities do the things that they need to do to solve their own problems.
At the Counties Association, the county board chairs vote on policy to be pursued by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and there was a proposal in there to raise the sales tax by 0.5%. I made an amendment to raise it by 0.5%. And we had a debate on that, and we almost didn't pass it. There are a lot of counties in the southern part of the state, especially the southeastern part of the state, that do not think we should be allowed to raise our taxes. They evidently don't need it. And, of course, one of my arguments to them was, if you don't need that 0.5% sales tax, don't implement it. But the ones who are struggling to complete some of these projects, we need to have that sales tax. And, of course, remember, our alternative to this, and it's always hanging there, is probably our only thing that we can do if we don't get some of these, is a wheel tax, which I think is a very unfair tax. But it may be our only option if we can't seem to clear this, because it is one of the ways we can raise taxes for roads.
Well, it feels like this has been pushed for at least the last several years. How long will it be before other actions have to be taken in order to deal with what you're seeing to repair roads?
I mean, we have to take those other actions right now. The mm-hmm. roads are in rough shape now, and so mm-hmm. both the city and the county have had to make unpleasant budgetary decisions to deal with roads. And sometimes that decision is to not deal with roads. So the unpleasant choices are in front of us as we speak.
And the county board prioritized this as our number one priority, was to try to, for economic and living conditions in Douglas County, we needed to upgrade our road system. And we dedicated about $2.5 to $5 million extra by borrowing in our, when we have those little pockets that we can borrow without raising the levy. And we've borrowed money, and we are committed to doing that. The problem is that if these other problems, if we don't get this 0.5% sales tax, if we don't get some relief on this health and human services issue, is that a lot of times we may trade those dollars, even if we took a wheel tax, and by law we're supposed to use them for the roads, and we would use that $2 million we'd raise on the wheel tax, but we would probably not borrow money for the roads, and we'd be borrowing the money for health and human services. So we need the state to recognize both of these problems as something that Douglas County, especially northern Wisconsin, needs.
I guess that's what I was curious about, because I know you've looked at bonding as a way to pay for road repairs in the past. And so at what point do you, you know, reach the cap on what you can do with that?
Well, we're pretty dedicated, I think, to staying in that $2.5 to $5 million extra, but I think we were quoted that to fix the system that is in place right now, because it's been neglected due to budget constraints, we're looking at about $80 million. By the time we get to that $80 million, we'll probably need $150 million. I know when we started looking at it, it was half of that. It was like in $40 million. And in a few years, if you don't fix the roads, then more roads will continue to get in that thing. The cost of asphalt, the cost of oil goes up. And instead of a $40 million fix just in inflation, it's a $50 million fix. And then the road's falling apart again every year, more and more and more. And this is a snowball that we probably have to get a real good handle on it soon. The mayor's right.
So I guess I'm wondering about the politics in this, too. I mean, how could this play out based on what we might see for other transportation needs across the state? Because now that we have a new governor, we still have a Republican-controlled legislature, and they've made it pretty clear that they weren't going to look at a gas tax or other forms of taxes to fund transportation. But do you think that might change now, where they would consider sales tax with the
Yeah, I think so. I haven't heard them speak about a sales tax so much, but it's worth remembering Craig Thompson, new Secretary of Transportation. He was the leader of the Just Fix It campaign for finding alternative funding mechanisms for state highways, for transportation projects. And everybody believes that where compromise is going to happen within the budget process coming up this year, it's going to happen around transportation. Everybody seems to recognize on both sides of the aisle that there is a problem at every level of government, the municipal, county, state. All of us need new sources of revenue to fix our roads. So I think there is some appetite to make the tough decisions to do that. And I don't know for sure that it's going to be a local 0.5% sales tax, but I think we're going to get something. And I mean, another potential option is increased local road aids money. But that doesn't solve our problem nearly as effectively as the 0.5% sales tax. You know, we don't want it'd be a fraction of what we really need.
And Craig Thompson is a great choice. I mean, he made a very good choice. He has a great rapport, great respect from the counties and the towns across the state for getting things done or trying to get things done. And like I said, that campaign, Just Fix It, was an amazing campaign. You guys covered it. It was on a certain night, 72 counties, all the townships participated on the same night and came and sent a message to the state that you have to help us. We need this road system fixed. And for him to have a control over those ideas now, I think is a very good message to be sent to a legislator that there's a chance that we might be able to fix this if we work together.
Well, I wanted to skip ahead a little bit on, this is not one that you're going to be talking with lawmakers about, as far as I know. It's more of an agency issue, but the exposition district for Better City Superior, just since we're talking about taxes, I know this would have allowed you to raise taxes in that area just so you could build the entertainment and convention center there. Again, another thing that came up as legislation but didn't go anywhere. What are your thoughts about that moving forward?
We're going to try. That had a different legislative path than the 0.5% sales tax for roads, where most of the legislature recognized a clear problem with transportation and saw a solution in front of them. This is one where we didn't ever really have a lot of consensus around it. And so we're going to keep trying. We're going to keep asking the legislature to help us help ourselves solve our own problems. This is a tool that has been used in other places in Wisconsin. We have tied it to a referendum. We would tie it to a referendum again. So we're going to take another push. We're going to try and get the governor's support on it this time. We believe, and we never really knew, but we believe that it largely failed last time because it did not have the support of the governor. And nobody wanted to push it forward, take ownership of it, while the governor didn't support it. Well, now, even though the governor's from a different party of the majorities in both houses of the legislature, we are much more likely to have the support of the governor. And therefore, we could get it in the initial draft of the budget.
Well, I guess that's what I was wondering, is what kind of feedback you were getting on it. Because as you mentioned, other areas of the state have used this, like Milwaukee and Brown County. I think Brown County used it for the Green Bay over Lambeau Field. And Milwaukee, I forget what their exposition district is for. But, you know, why not Superior?
Well, first, I just want to say my favorite part about the new governor is that we get feedback at all. You can actually speak to this administration. And that was the biggest problem with the Walker administration. You just couldn't get your foot in the door to talk about anything. The agenda was set in the governor's office, and now the agenda is set in local communities. And so everything that I spoke to Governor Evers about just about 2 weeks before he took the oath of office, it was pretty much a yes. He wants to support local communities. He's especially supportive of local communities being able to support themselves.
I guess I was also wondering, too, if you've ever gotten any feedback that, you know, if we allow this to happen here in the city of Superior, then other people are going to want to do it in other communities. And then it's just kind of like a snowballing effect.
Yeah. That came up when we were pushing it before, and our answer was always, one, burn that bridge when you get there. If you don't want to do it statewide, don't do it statewide. We're saying here in Superior, or if you're going to, set the same standards. We set a very high standard for the exposition district in Superior. We had an advisory referendum. We are committing ourselves to another referendum before we implement the exposition district. So we need not just local government leaders to be on board for some narrow vision. We need the whole community on board. And so we're saying, if other communities come to you and they want this, by all means, let them have it. Just set the bar just as high so that it's not local government elected officials raising their taxes. The community has to decide to raise their own taxes. They have to be on board with improving their own cities.
And we already have an example of both of these. We didn't invent either one of these asks. St. Louis County has a 0.5% sales tax dedicated to road repairs that they use over there very successfully, raises a lot of money for them, creates a lot of projects that they couldn't complete under the same problems that we have, you know, the high density of roads and low density of population, you know. So the other one was just look at Canal Park. That's a kind of what we were asking for, the same type of a percentage to go to that. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel if they need it. And my point on this would be, by all means, if you think this is a good idea, let other parts of the state use it. This is an economic development. When myself and Andy Lisek, our former administrator, were lobbying down there after Superior Days last year and hitting a few of the bigger offices, I guess you could say, we sold both of these together as an economic development that we needed for our area, that both of them were tied together, that we need better roads so people will build houses in the areas that they can. They don't want to be on dirt roads. Our roads are falling apart. They don't want to come here. They go to Hermantown because the roads are being supported by that St. Louis County tax. And they got a district downtown that obviously, when I was a kid, was a broken window warehouse district. It's changed a lot in my generation. And I know I'm not the youngest guy anymore, but it it's doable for us to take this Expo District, take this half percent sales tax, and make Superior and Douglas County a better place to live and a better place for our kids to stay living here.
That these are already established tools in place that can be utilized. Well, why is it so significant to transform the downtown in Superior then?
Downtowns are gathering places. They are the thriving heart of a community, and they breed success because where you can put people together, business thrives. Where business thrives, more business thrives. It's just how growth happens. It's also how cities were formed in the first place, either around a resource or around a place to buy goods and services. So it's the most natural form of development, and we've gotten away from that in over the last 20, 30 years as we've pushed retail shopping to one corner, professional services to another corner, housing spread out into other places. We need to start bringing things back together. It's very purpose of cities, and we know that it works. But you need some anchors in a downtown to kickstart that development. Because if you have a place where people come together, either because it's where they already live, because we have high-density residential areas, or because it's where there are very attractive goods and services that they need to come to anyways, new business comes in to capture the people that are already there. So this is about reigniting a downtown that once thrived.
I just want to go back then to UWS and the request for additional funding under the UW system budget. You know, everyone is familiar with the cuts and tuition freezes and a myriad of challenges that UW-Superior has faced and the suspension of programs. Why is this additional roughly $2.7 million important to the City of Superior and Douglas County?
Okay, this is Wisconsin Public Radio, so I can be very aggressive in my defense of the public university system. I think it was downright criminal, the attack on this system that we saw over the last 8 years. The university system is one of the most important parts about politics, life, and culture in the state of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin idea is that we should have thriving intellectual centers that educate our people, develop our workforce, and influence public policy so that public policy is benefiting everybody in a community. The cuts to that system, everything from, like you mentioned, Danny, tuition freezes all the way down to program suspensions, inhibits our ability to grow and develop as a community. And I don't just mean economically. I also mean socially and culturally. Now, narrowing that to UW-Superior, this is one of the most rural universities in the entire state. We serve a very wide population geographically, and we serve a population that is historically disenfranchised. A lot of people that live in poverty, a lot of first-generation students whose families have never had access to higher education. And so we have a much greater challenge and a much more important mission than many of the other public universities throughout the state of Wisconsin. And so making sure that it's adequately funded is vital to us getting back to what this university is really supposed to be doing.
And the county board has exhibited, you know, when you had your program cuts here, we kind of got involved a little bit of that. But one of the overall messages, I think, that came from the county board during those debates and other ones that we've been involved with, whether it's a new building that needed to be built or whatever, we've always become involved in because we recognize the importance of UWS to Superior and Douglas County. And for what the mayor said is exactly, I think, the reason why the county board has overwhelmingly supported to make sure that we have a university that's viable and growing here in this town. And we I think it was a logical way for us to help support you know, a funding increase need for UWS.
What are the impacts, if you can talk to them, about, you know, how the changes we've seen over the last several years at the university, how has that, in your mind, impacted the city and county as a whole?
It potentially makes the university a less attractive place to locate to. The shift, really, what I believe the mission of the Walker administration and the regents that he appointed to the university system was to shift from a general liberal arts environment to a workforce development institution. Now, that may be a legitimate belief of what the university system should do, but it is not the mission of either UW-Superior or the University of Wisconsin system. We should be simply educating the public and providing a resource to the arts and cultural and social development of the region. So the impact, I think, is not so much what we felt in the last 8 years. It's potentially what we are going to feel in the next 30 to 40 years, because the real impact of this university is on the students that are going here and the impact that it will have on those students for the rest of their lives. So what we lost is in the lives and educations and the future lives of the students that came here during these last 4 years. We need to get that back to make sure that the next generation of students that's coming here has the opportunities that students have had here for generations.
And I don't mean to diminish the human cost at all to this. I mean, obviously, as you've said, there are areas in need around here that need a good educational institution, a four-year educational institution nearby for their community. So people with low income status or various challenges can get an education in this area. But we all know that enrollment has declined. And I have to imagine that that's had an impact on the city and the county.
Yes, there. I don't have the numbers in front of me, of course, but there's a very real economic impact from this university, and it's in the millions of dollars on our local economy. When we have fewer actual people here, when I attended this university, we were roughly 10% of the population of the whole city. I believe we ought to have our own city council seat, actually. But so when we lose those students, we lose that economic potential. Now, I'd also point out that during that time period where enrollment has gone down, tuition has gone up, and I imagine that's been a factor. Just recently, some of the program offerings have gone down as well. The university is just not as attractive as it used to be. And that's not entirely the local university's fault. They raised tuition because they had to, because they just couldn't make their budget. That's where the state has to come in and fund this system adequately so that tuition can actually be low. And there's a number of ways to do that. The Superior Days issue is an important way to fund the operating budget of this university. But the state should be looking at other things too. Student loan forgiveness to help bring students into the economy faster. So that, at the very least, better student loan programs or grants to attend the university so that students don't have to make a choice between an education and lifelong debt.
I think you might have just answered my question about what else you would you like to see to ensure the health of this university into the future. So a variety of things, not just investment financially, but other areas as well.
Well, there's one more thing. Regents from the Superior area on the UW Board of Regents. It's been a long time since this area was represented in the governing body of the system.
Again, you've been listening to Superior Mayor Jim Payne and Douglas County Chairman Mark Liebert. We're going to take a short break for these announcements, but when we come back, we'll talk with UW Superior's Jordan Milan about how the university plans to use any additional money it may receive. We'll also hear from Bayfield County Administrator Mark Abels-Allison about which issues they'll be talking about down in Madison. I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. In this hour, we've been talking about the 34th Annual Superior Days. Local leaders are getting ready to lobby lawmakers next month on issues important to northern Wisconsin. Before the break, we were talking about UW System's request for additional funding that would include roughly $2.7 million more for UW Superior. Up next, we hear from UWS spokeswoman Jordan Milan about how those dollars would be used.
It would be going towards specific initiatives for the university, around three different initiatives. One would be looking to expand higher education accessibility for the citizens of Northwestern Wisconsin. So that would be, you know, funding to expand online course and program delivery, even looking at electronic textbooks as well. So doing more to be able to make our program offerings more accessible to everybody in Northwestern Wisconsin. Another initiative would be looking at what we can do to increase the number of alums who are staying in Northwestern Wisconsin after they graduate. What we're looking at addressing there would be expanding opportunities for paid internships as well as other employment, student employment opportunities, and expanding our career services office to be able to provide that guidance to students, helping them find career opportunities in the area, you know, looking at resumes and, you know, practice interviews, things like that.
So when you're talking about paid internships, do you mean on campus or off campus or both?
That hasn't been fully fleshed out yet, but I think that funding would be looking more toward off-campus internships. There's a lot of businesses in the area that offer internships or would love to offer internships but may not have the budget to do a paid internship. So this funding could be used to pay those students for those internships that might otherwise be unpaid. You know, we have a lot of students who are non-traditional, you know, have a family at home and might even be working as well, but need some extra funding to be able to offset some of their expenses, as well as, you know, our full-time on-campus students. Just, you know, everybody needs to be able to find some funding to make ends meet. So that would be what the paid internships would support.
And I know you mentioned online courses and an expansion of that, and I know that's been growing anyway here at UW-Superior. Why mm-hmm. are you focusing on expanding those programs?
Well, you know, our university is not centrally located in the northwestern Wisconsin region. It's really kind of in the northwestern corner of the northwestern Wisconsin region. And, you know, there's more than 6,700 square miles in our four counties. So, you know, it's not always easy for folks to be able to drive from Iron County to get to campus for on-campus courses, especially if they have full-time jobs, you know, family obligations, even, you know, frankly, gas money. So the importance of expanding those courses is really important to us and we feel is really important for the citizens of northwestern Wisconsin.
And so I guess, you know, I'm just curious, what happens if this funding doesn't come through? What will that mean for how you continue your offerings into the future?
That remains to be seen how exactly that might be covered, but certainly this $2.68 million increase would be a great jump start to getting these initiatives going. Some of these things are starting in earnest and have been in conversation level, but certainly having the funding there would allow us to take it to the next level.
And does any of these requests kind of tie in with some of the performance-based funding or the standards that the UW system is asking UW-Superior to meet?
To be honest, Danielle, I'm not exactly sure how that will tie in to that performance-based funding. It will be dependent on the different set of requirements that system has and how we stack up against those. But certainly these things do fall within the indicators that system would use for that performance-based funding.
So would this mean, like, if you're going to be expanding online courses or program delivery, would that be for current programs? Or are you going to be doing new programs if you were to receive this funding?
That remains to be seen. We do already have a nice suite of online undergraduate programs, and we have online graduate programs in education. But we're always looking to see what other programs would make sense to develop into full-fledged degree programs versus just expanding the courses that we have to support each program. We actually also have a lot of students who are living on campus or close to campus that take some online courses as well, whether they mix that with on-campus and online, or there are some students who are fully online and they're here near the university. But it's just, again, it's really just a way to make higher education more accessible, fit people's lives.
Is there anything that I'm missing that you want to add, Jordan?
Sure. And one of the other initiatives that we would go forth with if we got this funding is really around the development of a college skills course for our incoming students. And this would really be ultimately to support expanding the educated workforce within our area. And college skills courses are a retention tool for universities, helps students be, you know, successfully acclimate and transition to the college experience, kind of learn more about what they're getting into in college and help them be more successful. And if they're successful and able to persist and able to graduate, that ultimately can help, you know, to increase the percentage of residents that have bachelor's degrees in our area.
Again, you were just listening to Jordan Milan with UW-Superior. Up next, we hear from Bayfield County Administrator Mark Abels Allison. He says they're planning to raise a number of issues with lawmakers this year, including some they've brought forward in the past.
and that is payments to towns with county forest. Northern Wisconsin has nearly 50% of the county forest in the state of Wisconsin. There's 2.4 million acres of county forest. It's some of the most productive forest land in the state. Forest lands are critical to the economy of the entire state. Because of that, the state established county forest law, and those lands that are ideal for county forest, those lands are in county ownership, and they're off the tax roll. The state recognizes the importance of forested lands, and they currently pay towns 30 cents an acre for county forest lands. 30 cents an acre is the amount that was last established in 1989. And what we've been trying to stress over the past 3, 4, 5, 6 years, as has the state, as has the County Forest Association and many other counties and throughout the state, is that the 30 cents really needs to be adjusted. It needs to be increased to provide some additional resources for towns providing basic services. They're working on their roads. They're providing elections. They're providing emergency services. And so we're going to go back to both the DNR and the Department of Administration and urge them to consider, including in the budget, an increase to the payments to towns with county forest. And our proposal is from 30 cents to $2 an acre, and that $2 an acre would be closer to what the federal government pays for national forest lands that are within a town. So that's one of the topics that we're going to be talking about.
And is this a little bit of an increase that you're asking for? Because I feel like it was a request for a dollar per acre in the past.
You know, I think we've kind of been at the $2. We're trying to get some movement. We haven't had a whole lot of luck with movement. It's still much less than what towns receive for national forest lands. But at the same time, you know, a dollar, you know, $2, it's roughly, you know, a sevenfold increase. The fact that it hasn't been increased since 1989 stands out, however. So we think $2 is fair.
Any other specific issues that you're, you know, excited to touch base with lawmakers and agencies about this year?
Yeah. One of the topics is a program called ORS, O-A-R-S, which stands for Opening Avenues to Reentry Success. This is a Department of Health Services and Department of Corrections a project that it's a voluntary program. It takes place in the prisons in Wisconsin, and it supports inmates who are being released to currently 44 counties in the state of Wisconsin. Most of those counties are in the southern part of the state. It basically provides 3 to 6 months of pre-release community corrections or social work assistance. But the big issue is that once they're released, it provides continued support once they're in their communities. And right now the program, which we think it's a very beneficial program. We think it's had a lot of successes, but it's not currently available in our area. We've spoken several times with the program, a different program staff, and we think it would be a good mix for northern Wisconsin. We're going to be talking with Department of Health Services and hopefully with Department of Corrections about an expansion to the program to our region.
But you'd like to see that as a way to help people transition from the jail back into the community.
Exactly, exactly. And one of the issues is for us is that there, just because of our less dense population and fewer services, is there are fewer resources up in northern Wisconsin, and we're trying to make sure that we have more resources, not less resources, because individuals who are released, they, just like any other area of the state, require as much assistance as possible to make sure they get off on the right foot.
And so basically, when people take part in this program, what does it offer? I mean, how does it help more than what's available currently?
I think it's kind of that case management. It's support while somebody is in the program. They have individual service plans. They have goals. And somebody helps walk them through makes connections for education, for jobs, just so that after you've been incarcerated, you may not have access to all the resources, and so this is someone who's looking out for you and providing assistance. Can I jump onto a couple others?
Feel free.
One of the topics that we've struggled with, Tuesday morning we're going to be speaking with the Bureau Director for the Department of Trade and Consumer Protection, Bureau Director for Farm and Agribusiness Services. We know that our dairy farms, and we don't have as many as we used to, but this is a very difficult time for a whole variety of reasons for our farms, especially dairy. We've talked with a number of different parties, and we don't have a clear direction, but hopefully during the debt cap session, we're going to raise the issue about, you know, how we can support our local farms. Distance for dairy producers continues to be a difficult topic. The one possible solution that we've talked about is a local or a regional dairy processor. Right now, distances create a real cost disadvantage for dairy in northwest Wisconsin. We don't have a whole lot of solutions, but we realize and we are very cognizant that area farms are going through, you know, a real crisis situation. And so hopefully our dialogue with DAPCAP will be, you know, how do we help farms kind of manage the crisis?
You were just listening to Bayfield County Administrator Mark Abels Allison talk about some of the issues they'll be lobbying for in Madison next month. Superior Days will be held on February 12th and 13th this year, and more information about the Grassroots Lobbying Initiative is available online at superiordays.com. That's it for our program. You can hear it again online on our website at wpr.org/superior. I'm Danielle Kading, and you've been listening to Hear Me Out on Wisconsin Public Radio. We hope to have you back with us again next Friday. Until then, have a great weekend.